Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Charles Thomas with Impact Now Radio. Just want to say good evening to everyone, and I hope you've been prayerful in this so-called Halloween season that you've been praying for the young people and just for people in general, because this is around the time of the year where a lot of people tend to come up missing and kidnapped and have all types of horrible sexually deviant demonic things done to them for the purpose of, you know, satanic rituals and things of that sort. And even though people don't tend to want to believe or just think it's just something on TV that's been glamorized, this is something that really takes place, people. That you really have true devil worshipers, people that look to conjure up demons through sexual rituals, through blood sacrifices and bloodletting and things of that sort. So I just pray that, you know, but mainly we as the body of Christ, true believers, it becomes even more, you know, heartbreaking or frustrating when you have so-called churches participating in these things, trying to call it, you know, Hallelujah Night, Harvest Night, or to dress up like one of the saints. Look, people, let's be real about it. These people are participating in Halloween and the same demonic practices, just in a lighter way. Yeah, you can't sanctify evil. You can't sanctify something when its roots is evil. So, with that being said, I just want to go ahead and open up Word of Prayer so we'll go ahead and get into this discussion, this topic. And once again, the call-in number, for anyone that want to call in and listen by way of archive, if you listen to the show, the call-in number is 347-426-3065. Once again, 347-426-3065. And you can also reach me by way of email at ccthomas178@gmail.com. Once again, ccthomas178@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just want to dialogue even further about the topic, or even if you have an opposing view and you feel like, that, hey, you know, I think you're a little off with this, I welcome all, you know, criticisms. And only thing I ask you is be respectful, and whatever comments that you bring, or I don't accept opinions. If you want to correct on the scripture, understand it, please bring chapter, book, and verse. Don't bring me your own idea. Don't bring me your point of view. Bring me the scriptures. That's all I'm going to give, and that's all I do give to make anything is the scriptures. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for once again another day, Lord God, to have the breath of life flowing through our body, Lord God, to have the Zoe life, God type, you know, Holy Ghost type life in us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that each day we wake up, Lord God, that we will be grateful and thankful, Lord God, that we woke up once again another day to get it right, another day to get our issues reconciled with you, Lord God, another day, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to fulfill a work for your kingdom, Lord God, another day to represent Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will be in the midst of this lesson, this topic, this teaching, this discussion, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'll open up the ears of the people and open up the ears of your people, Lord God, so that we might understand all the various signs and happenings and things that are taking place, even the day-to-day things that the Bible has been forewarning us about, that this was going to be telltale signs, that we are truly in the last days. So, Father, we thank you, and we give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've been dealing with the topic, narcissism, the spirit of Antichrist and his children. And so, with this, just to get a little backdrop, this topic mainly came out of, you know, just one day, just scrolling through my Facebook account, you know, erasing any, you know, messages or backed up messages that I get, because I really don't go on Facebook that often, but, or I might going into dialogue, you know, with some of the other believers in Christ, you know, that's in other states, you know, and just to dialogue with them or to just, you know, just to have a good discussion about the word and about things that's going on. So, but then I begin to see, well, not so much begin to see, I really begin to start pay attention to how many pictures and photos and things of the sort that people put up on themselves day to day. And in that, and just scroll it, but then begin to look at how many believers in Christ is doing it. And I just begin to feel the voice of God in my spirit just begin to say, this is not as innocent as it appears. These selfies are not as innocent. It's just not some new trend that's just innocent of people just taking pictures of themselves or doing different things, whether it's swimming, hiking, roller coasters, restaurants, or whatever it is that they're doing, you know, and you know, that none of this is innocent as it appears to be. And then begin, he began to deal with me how the spirit of narcissism is actually a spirit that brings you into or is connected to the spirit of homosexuality or the spirit of feminism or being effeminate. So as I begin to look and begin to look at some things and begin to read and begin to see that how all of this is even spoken of in the scriptures. When you read, which is the foundational scriptures for this topic, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, for he says that you notice that perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And when I read that, that scripture jumped out and took hold. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And you would think, okay, if you say it that perilous, real bad, real dangerous times are approaching, and then you begin to list some characteristics that's going to be dominant in the minds of people, in the hearts of people, in the conduct of people, that's going to be the signs, you know, the road signs to the show or to point to the fact that we are truly here in the last generation. You would think, well, what do a person being a lover of their own self, what do they got to do? But then it begins to make sense, you know, with the narcissism and the spirit of homosexuality, because when you begin to understand or begin to look at the word homosexual, the word is comprised of two different words. You have the word homo, which is meaning same, or, you know, mean the same or like. And then you have the word sexual, same sexual, or same sex. This thing, and so now when you look at what is a homosexual, a person who is attracted to, enamored with, has a burning desire for someone of the same sex, of the same gender. But then when you begin to dig a little deeper into this, and see, and these things right here, it's more so, these are like bullet points, but then as we begin to go through this discussion, as we begin to go through, as the Lord will, dealing with each topic, I'm not going to make it a 20-part to, you know, end it up where it gets to some part where to drive home the message or the lesson, where when you begin to look at, once again, when a person has a desire or a craving or a burning to be with someone that's of the same sex, this is where when you begin to peel away the layers of homosexuality, when you begin to peel away the crust of it, you begin to find the spirit of narcissism. You begin to find the narcissistic personality. And as I just batch out, like I said, there was a mythical character of a young man named Narcissus. And he was the offspring of a water nymph or a mermaid, and also this water god or demon named Nemesis. I forgot the name of the father of this water god or whatever. It's not Poseidon, it's something. And there was a young lady by the name of Echo who loved or was attracted to Narcissus, but his character, his attitude, his demeanor was one of arrogance, one of being cold. It pushed her off. So one day, and with his nasty demeanor, his ways, this tasteful ways, this being named Nemesis, Lord Narcissus to a pool of water, and basically put a spell on that. When he looked, and what ended up happening was when Narcissus went to go to get a drink of water from this lake, from this pool of water, he seen his reflection in the water and fell in love with it, so much to the point where he could not leave his reflection because he was so enamored with himself, that he was so in love with himself, to the point where he tried to embrace the image in the water to the point he fell in and drowned. Now, for some who has an analytical mind, you will already begin to pick up where I'm going with this. When I said that the same homosexual means same sexual, to be attracted to someone that's of the same sex, narcissist, he fell in love with self. This is the underlying, the demonic, the filth that goes, that's the underlying. A man or woman who is in relationship with someone of the same sex, at the core of it, it really has nothing to do with the other person. It's more so that they are so enamored with themselves that they can only be satisfied with or pleasure or receive pleasure by what is a reflection of themselves. So therefore, a female that is so enamored with herself and with her own body, to the point where she then masturbated so much, to the point now where she has to be in relations with something else that is a reflection of herself. So therefore, she goes to be with another woman because another woman has breasts, another woman has a vagina. So therefore, because a male is not a reflection of her, because a male doesn't have the same genetic makeup, he does not have the same physical makeup as a woman, and vice versa. A male that lacks attraction towards a woman because he is so enamored with himself that he can only be gratified by and with that which is a reflection of himself, which is another male. Just like how with narcissists, with the character narcissist, that to the point he did not want anyone else or did not want to be with anybody else because they were not a reflection of himself. Okay, so now, with that being said, we're going to open up in Ezekiel chapter 28 because we're going to deal with the person, the being, the spirit that's actually behind either the narcissist, the one that gave birth to this thing. They gave birth to this disorder, this psychological disorder. We're going to begin to look into and dig into the depths of the first known narcissist that ever was. So if you go with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, starting at verse 12, and it reads, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou fillest up the song, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been to eat in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Every precious stone was thy covering. It's the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee both profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the old covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire." Now, pay attention to this verse right here. "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." Once again, verse 17 of Ezekiel chapter 28. "Thy heart was lifted up. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." So now, the Bible tells us right here, the Lord was talking to his prophet Ezekiel. And he began to tell him to take up a lamentation and begin to cry out against the king of Tyrus. This wasn't a natural king. This was the fallen angel Lucifer, who God is telling his prophet to cry against. Because God was basically bringing an account to me how did Lucifer, or why Lucifer, got expelled from the glory of God or from the kingdom of God because of the simple fact that we're going to go into the other scripture, and we're going to begin to tell you what he began to say, what corrupted him when he began to look. And from it just wasn't him beginning to look at himself and begin to see how beautiful, how awesome that he was and how awesome God created him, but he also begin to ponder some things in his mind based off of how he thought of himself when he began to basically realize the reflection of himself. So God said, look, when your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, your heart was lifted up because of how awesome you was, your heart was lifted up because of the position amongst the rank of the myriads of angelic hosts that's in heaven, of the different classifications of angelic being. You were one of the most awesome ones that I created out of. Now, is this a disjustice or as they say, God casting shame on the other angels? No, because they all have their particular splendor to them for their particular purpose and assignment. But Lucifer, he was given the assignment to stand before the throne of God and direct the worship of the heavenly host towards the throne of God. And so, and the fact that he had all the different types of musical instrumentation built into his being, he was what is called a maestro. He was a master musician. He could play any kind of instrument. He could sing and hit any kind of note. He could do it all because this is the way God made him. And so, and what would happen was the Bible said that, you know, every precious stone was like covered. Now, God made whether a garment was that made to his body and covered it with all these different precious stones. And today, like how we each have our birth stones and things of the sort, these were these things. And he was covered with all types of sapphires and rubies and diamonds and gold. And he was just covered with it. And what would happen is as the worship and the praise was being directed towards the throne of God, and God's glory will begin to swell in the light and the glory from just God's being would then just reflect and just shine all throughout his kingdom. And what would happen is it would hit Lucifer. And then it would cascade off the stones. And what would happen is because Lucifer, his name, where we get our word lucid from, or basically phosphorus, which meaning light, or a light source burning, he would emanate, he would glow up. You know what I mean? Lucifer's body would just glow up because he was magnifying the glory of the Lord. And so what would happen is that God's glory would reflect off those stones and cascade different colors throughout the kingdom, throughout heaven, throughout all just his created place, you know, wherever the thing, universes and things that God has made. And but what ended up happening was Lucifer took his focus off of the Most High and began to reflect on himself and began to look at, and the one thing he tends to forget is that his glory or how he would shine was only as a result of the fact that God's glory hit in him. But because he got so caught up in how beautiful he was and got caught up in not, and his gift began to corrupt him, that he began to look and basically he started to go crazy. He began to become self-centered, self-idolizing, because basically he wanted to displace, to so much so to the point that he wanted to displace God. Okay, so now we're going to take a look at this in Isaiah. Chapter 14, starting at verse 12. And the scripture says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So we see here that, okay, that when he began to look at himself and see how awesome he looked and how beautiful he was and how smart and intelligent God made him, that his mind began to deprave and began to go through the whole I complex, the self-centered me, myself, and I complex, that I'm going to be like the Most High, that I'm going to ascend above the heights of the clouds and above the stars of God, and I was sitting in a in the amount of the congregation in the size of the north, which when we read, when you read at any time in the Bible, especially in Old Testament, when it starts talking about the north, something coming from the north or the north south, or God coming from the north, or God sent the army from the north. The north is usually a divine direction, because when something is coming from the north, it's usually God is sending it, whether as a judgment or as a blessing or as the presence of God himself coming. So, but it's also telling you that maybe somewhere to north of the universe or north in our solar system, in which wherever is north, it could be a direction towards the throne of God or to a realm that you could cross into. And so with that being said, we begin to see the birth of narcissism. And this is what the word narcissism means. Narcissism means extreme self-centeredness and a grandiose view of oneself. Narcissists have an excessive need to be admired by others and have a sense of entitlement. Once again, narcissism. This is the definition of narcissism, and these are signs and character traits of a person that is a narcissist. Extreme self-centeredness and a grandiose view of oneself. Narcissists have an excessive need to be admired by others and have a sense of entitlement. So now I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 14 again, and we're going to begin to see, does Lucifer show signs of this grandiose view of himself, this extreme self-centeredness, this extreme desire to be, you know, looked at, applauded, you know, to be held in esteem and all these things. So we're going to begin to look and see, does he fit the MO? Does he fit the bill with this? Once again, starting in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Or cut down to the ground, which this weakened the nations. For thou, all right, here we go. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So I believe it's safe to say that he is the granddad, the daddy, the preacher, the patriarch of narcissism. Not this mythological being, narcissist in Greek mythology. He is more so just a talking about Lucifer, where they believe that these beings like Zeus and Poseidon and the mermaids and the sirens and Hades and Hercules and Cyclops and Thor and Janus and all these people were actually real. These were nothing but fallen angels that fell or that followed along with Lucifer in thinking that he had the ability to come through on his promise to make them gods. Because you notice when he came to man in the garden and he went to the woman first, he began to get them to question the word of God. The first they said, see, God is, you're not surely God. Basically, he's trying to get them to believe that God was keeping something from them, because he said, knowing that the day that your eyes is open, that you shall be like God, lowercase g. So the thing becomes is what he always wanted. He basically tainted and perverted Adam and Eve with it, with the thought that was projected into them, with the spirit of narcissism, to become self-centered, self-gratifying, and self-motivating, instead of being yielded and motivated to the purpose, the plan, the will, and the destiny that God has already pre-mapped out for us. So, for one, for his glory, but that also that he will glorify us in his kingdom. So with that, you know, today, my time is up. We're going to dig deeper, and we're going to begin to look at these people. There's some of the people who we look at that we work with, our children, our some family member, somebody we might be in a relationship with. This thing is not as innocent as we might think it is. So once again, this is Talk Song with Impact Now Radio. Thank you.